And so he comes up upon a sign and it says, help wanted. It's a pig farm. And so he applies for the job and the guy says, you've got to feed my pigs every day. So one day while he's feeding the pigs, he's so famished that he looks at a half-eaten corn on the cob and starts eating it himself. Then he remembers. He remembers about his father. And at that moment, he is cornered. It's a defining moment upon which his whole future will hinge.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. It's a story most of us have heard many, many times before, but somehow it never gets old. We're talking about the story of the prodigal son. And the reason it doesn't get old is because most of us can see a bit of ourselves in the story. Maybe a lot of ourselves. Well, today Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, The Prodigal Son, Cornered. And that'll be coming up in just a moment. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Here is Pastor Wayne.
The greatest inheritance that has been given us is not riches in a bank or accumulations possessed. The greatest inheritance given to us is a likeness with our Lord, so that when people see us, we remind them of Christ. Because the people in this world need to see Jesus a whole lot more than they need to see anything else. And the likeness that God gives to us is our greatest inheritance. If we miss that, we miss. We just miss. And one of the things God speaks about in the book of Corinthians is, says, as we behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory into his image. It's saying as you behold the Lord, there's a transformation that's taking place. And one of the ways we can behold him is in worship. As you just behold the goodness of God, and there's a transformation that takes place. And then God speaks about another way that is to be able to trust and obey him. Because he knows the way. And as we obey and trust, then we begin to walk side by side with him. It's called a relationship. In this hymn, it's an ageless hymn, it talks about that. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And we're going to talk about the huge purpose attached to obedience. Why does God want us to obey him? Why? There's a huge purpose. And we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's learn the Hawaiian chorus of this age-old hymn, Trust and Obey. And it'll come up on the screen, and let's try it. It goes like this. Ke ala no ne, e haoli mau ai, e paulele a ho'olohe, mau kakoya Yesu. You got that, huh? Yeah. You already know that. Let's try it. Ready? Ke ala no ne. Ke ala no ne. E haoli mau ai. E paulele a ho'olohe. Mau kakoia Yesu. Try it again. Ke ala. Ke ala.
Delights of his love, until all on the altar we lay for the favor
and the joy
and the joy.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Prodigal Son, Cornered.
Many people who are here have been recently, those that have come to Christ, and we're excited about your new faith. You know, when a lot of us come to the Lord, we're sort of like this piece of paper. And what happens to us is we get crumpled up by the world's philosophies. We get pressed by the world's mold. We are with peer pressured, we are pushed together, and our perspectives are wrong, our disposition is off, the way we see life is a little funny, the way we view God's a little funny. But then we realize this is not how we want to be. It's just we come to a dead end. And so then we come to our senses and God corners us and says, is this really what you want to be like? And we say, no. And we come to God and we say, Lord, would you forgive us for accepting or allowing the world to implode us into what we've become? And God says, I forgive you. Here's the interesting thing. You are forgiven. You are now a Christian, but you're a forgiven Christian that's a crumpled piece of paper still. You see, when you receive Christ, your life doesn't all of a sudden unfold. And you're, ooh, now nice. When you receive Christ and say yes to his forgiveness, it doesn't mean all the stuff that you had wrong with your marriage is done and it's ironed out. No. You're forgiven, but you're still a crumpled piece of paper. Now starts the lifelong process of God restoring you to what he originally created you to be. This is what he does. He starts pulling on a part of your life, maybe your attitude. You'll feel him pull. You'll get pulled a little bit in the area of your marriage. You'll get stretched. Your faith will get stretched a little bit. Maybe the way you used to think is going to get stretched. And what God is doing, he's not stretching you. He is restoring you. And if you say, oh, I don't want you to pull on me. This is just so hard to be a Christian. Just leave me alone. And if God stops pulling, then you remain. But the best thing to do is cooperate with his restoration process as he's pulling. And you'll feel him tug on your heart here. Check your thought there. Check this. Rearrange that. And he'll just begin to do this. Now, you have to understand that there's going to be people in New Hope that are going to be still in this place. Some are going to look more like this. Some are a little bit more like this. Some are like this. But we're all in different stages of restoration. And there's some people that are just like this. Now, some people will say, look at that person. He says he's a Christian. Look at his crumpled life. How can he be a Christian? Look at him. Well, it's true. He is a Christian. And it really messes up non-Christians to say, look at that Christian. Look at that. They're just he's crumpled. Yeah, but he can be a forgiven, crumpled piece of paper. Now, the speed with which God restores you is up to you. You can cooperate with him and he moves you quite quickly through all of this, or you can be a little bit resistant and it goes very, very slow. But as you cooperate with what he's doing to restore you, you know what that's called? Cooperating with God? Obeying his commands. That's it. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, obey the Lord, obey his commands. We just say, cooperate with him as he pulls and straightens you out in a certain way. Aligns you back to the way he originally designed you to think about a marriage or about sexuality or about this or that. He's restoring you. You'll feel the pull. You'll feel the pull of the world. Because you see, if you take a look at this, there's a little bit of memory to it, you know, because you have a tendency to want to go back. Just let me go back to the way I used to be because it's so much more comfortable like this. Yeah, it is. If you want to live the rest of your life as a forgiven, crumpled piece of paper, but God is moving you to become the person that he created you to be. So as you cooperate with him and you allow him to work with you, even though it's tough sometimes and it's pulling and it's stretching, little by little, he helps you again to be a person upon whom is written a love letter from heaven to the world. Oh, sure, there's going to be some scars and some wrinkles, but people won't see the scars after a while. They'll just see the love letter, the portrait of Jesus Christ that they can now see on you and me. So God's going to be restoring us. Now, when he does restore you, sometimes what he does is he has to corner you sometimes. You'll get cornered by your errors, the error of your way. It'll paint you into a corner, and now you have to make a decision. Sometimes you'll get cornered by the truth. But the decision you make at that moment, whether you're cornered by error or you're cornered by the truth, the decision you make, I call that a defining moment, because the decision you make, it's sort of like a point in which your future will be hinged. If you make a poor choice, it affects your future. If you make a wise choice, it affects your future. It's a hinge point. It's a pin there, that defining moment's very, very important, how you respond. So you can get cornered. Now, we've all been cornered, caught with our hand in the cookie jar, and sometimes it's not the funnest, but I tell you, inside of us, there's stuff that has to come up. So God sometimes corners us so that he can make his best in our life with no pretense, with nothing hidden in between. He's going to open us up, and we get cornered. Well, the story is told of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who is actually the writer of the Sherlock Holmes series. He was quite a prankster. And I guess everybody has hidden skeletons in their closets because he sent a telegram to 12 of the top politicians in Britain of his day. And it was an urgent telegram. And all that it said was, flee at once. All has been discovered. That's all he said. And the newspaper reported that within the next 48 hours, 7 of the 12 had left on extended vacations. Sometimes you're going to be cornered by pranksters, error. Sometimes you'll be cornered by the truth. This was a story of a little girl. She went to her mom and said, Mommy, how did the human race appear? She said, well, God made man, and God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and then they had children, and that's how the human race came to be. Oh, she said. 2 days later, she went to her father. Now, her father's an atheist and is always grousing about the mother's faith and going to church. And she said, Dad, how did the human race appear? He said, oh, billions of years ago, there were monkeys, and from the monkeys developed the human race. We evolved from them. Oh, she said. The little girl went back to her mother and said, Mom, I'm confused. You said God started the human race, and Dad said that it evolved from monkeys. Which is right? Oh, the mother said, the explanation for that is very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and he told you about his. Cornered by the truth. Well, today's notes, as we talk about being cornered in this parable that we know familiar in a common way as the prodigal son, you're going to have some notes. Now, the notes are going to be a little different today. I'm not going to show you the answers on the screen. You're just going to have to figure them out. I'm not even going to stop for them. So you're going to have to look at what's coming up, look at the blank, and listen for it so that you can catch it. All right? And at the end, we're going to give you a test to see if you got them all. All right. So get ready. All right. Now, some of you will be indeed cornered by truth, and some will be cornered by error. And as we go through this parable today, which is a fascinating parable, you're going to have truth because it's pregnant with truth, and you're going to have some things applied to your life because you'll see yourself, ooh, that's me, ooh, I'm like that. But whenever that happens in a message of some type and you feel condemned, condemnation is never going to be from God. Please remember that. The scripture says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, God doesn't come to condemn you. Now, you're going to feel him pull and stretch you a little bit as he's restoring you, and he's going to open some things up to the light, and you're going, oh. Well, it won't be condemnation, it'll be conviction. Now, here's the big difference between the two. Condemnation drives you further from God, whereas conviction always draws you nearer. Did you catch that? All right, just checking. So condemnation drives you what? Further away. Conviction draws you nearer to God. So when you sense that, the pulling of God, even when you're cornered, remember, God is not ever one to condemn, but he will convict because he wants to draw you nearer. Now, why does God then use parables? Let me tell you why. Parable is a story that's pregnant with truth now, lots of truth all woven into it. And a parable yields up the truth gradually and gently. And only those whose hearts are ready for it and looking for it will catch it. That's it. Got it. But you see, if your heart isn't open, it'll just be that was a nice story. But parables yield up the truth gradually and gently. And it requires the listeners to be someone who's a truth seeker. And when you are, then it starts to divest all of its treasures to your account. Now, let's get into the story a little bit. The parable that we're about to walk through, it's usually known as the prodigal son, singular. But I want you to see with me today that the father has not one lost son, but two lost sons. It's really the story of two lost sons. One left the father and the other stayed. Listen, you can mess your life up outside the father's house, or you can mess your life up inside the father's house. You can mess your life up outside the father's house, or you can mess up your life inside the father's house. And I need you to catch that. Am I helping you enough? Now, this parable, okay, that's it now. I'm not going to help you no more. It's like the lady, she had all these boys. She named them Eenie, Meenie, Miney, and George. The friend said, how come you named the last one George? Because he said, Eenie, Meenie, Miney, and George. He said, because I don't want no more. So I ain't going to help you out no more. Now, this parable is preceded by two other stories of lostness. One is a lost coin, the other is a lost sheep. But I want you to see that it's not really a story like of a lost sheep. It's really the story of a passionate shepherd who won't stop looking for that lost sheep until he finds it. And then when he finds it, he parties. Did you know that most of God's parables of grace all end up in parties? Yeah, lost coin, found it, party, lost sheep, found it, party, lost son, found him, party. It's like it's God's will to celebrate. And it is. It's his will to celebrate homecomings of his kids. And it's not a story, this prodigal son as we know it as, it's not really a story of this improvident wastrel that goes out and takes somebody else's money and spends it on wine, women, and song. It's not the story of an elder brother that is grousing all the time, complaining and whining. No, it's really the story of the heart of a passionate father that is willing to give up everything he has in order to restore his sons and daughters that are lost outside of his house and are lost inside of his house. In fact, most of the time we preach it as a prodigal son. But I want you to notice something really interesting with me. This is just really, really fascinating to me. That the prodigal son and the elder brother, two lost sons, you'll notice in this parable, the father never says a word to the first son, the prodigal son. Check the parable. Never says anything to him. Most of his conversation is with the elder brother. In other words, it's really about this, the ones who get lost inside the father's house. Now, there's great truths from the first one, but I want you to balance it off today, and I want you to see with me a fascinating story about the passion of a father for those who are lost outside of his house and inside of his house. Well, let's get into the story. His youngest son comes to his father and says, "Dear Dad, you know that when you die, we get everything you have and everything you own. So why wait until you die? Why don't you just give it to us now, because we're going to get it anyway one day?" Nice sons. Now, the father is so loving. You know what the Bible says? So he divided his inheritance among them. So he's got two sons. Now, the father has some money, and the father owns a farm. That's what he's got. So he's going to divide it between the two. The youngest son gets the, and the elder brother gets the. That's how it worked. The youngest son got the money. The elder brother got the farm. And so he divides his inheritance. The first one, the youngest brother, goes out and spends everything that he received with improvident living and going after women, wine, and song, and it's just done. One day he wakes up and he is flat broke. Everything that he thought was going to last forever was only temporal. And isn't that how it is with prodigals? And so he comes up upon a sign, because he's got to earn a living now. He's got to work. He's got to eat. And it says, "Help wanted." It's a pig farm. And so he applies for the job, and the guy says, "You've got to feed my pigs every day." So I'll do anything, because I got to get some money. So one day, while he's feeding the pigs, he's so famished that he looks at a half-eaten corn on the cob and starts eating it himself. Then he realizes, "What in the world is going on with me?" Then he remembers. He remembers about his father. And at that moment, he is cornered. It's a defining moment upon which his whole future will hinge.
Fear, only trust and obey.
Never fear, only trust.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Prodigal Son, Cornered by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.